Page 202. On this page, we have a photograph of President and Sister Kimball with members of their family. Page 203. Chapter 19. Strengthening Our Families. We need to strengthen and protect our families by teaching and living the gospel in our homes. From the life of Spencer W. Kimball. President Spencer W. Kimball often emphasized the need to strengthen families through gospel living in the home. Describing his own experiences, he said, "As a youth, and with my wife and children in our home, I remember our beloved family activities. Heaven was in our home. When each person did something, whether it was sing a song, lead a game, recite an article of faith, tell a story, share a talent, or perform an assignment, there was growth and good feeling." President Kimball and his wife, Camilla, strengthened their children by teaching and encouraging them and then letting them take responsibility for their own choices. Their daughter, Olive Beth, recalled that they guided rather than pushed us into the paths that they wanted us to go. President and Sister Kimball showed great love for each of their children. One son, Edward, said, "My father was always very affectionate. I knew he loved me." Edward recalled an experience he had when he attended a solemn assembly in the Salt Lake Temple. "There were thousands of men there. As the meeting ended, my father spotted me where I was singing in a chorus. On his way out, he came over, embraced, and kissed me." Page 204. Teachings of Spencer W. Kimball. The family is central to our Father's plan and is the foundation of society. Family life is the best method for achieving happiness in this world, and it is a clear pattern given to us from the Lord about what is to be in the next world. The Lord organized the whole program in the beginning with the Father who procreates, provides, and loves and directs, and a mother who conceives and bears and nurtures and feeds and trains. The Lord could have organized it otherwise, but chose to have a unit with responsibility and purposeful associations where children train and discipline each other and come to love, honor, and appreciate each other. The family is the great plan of life, as conceived and organized by our Father in heaven. The family is the basic unit of the kingdom of God on earth. The church can be no healthier than its families. From the beginning, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints has emphasized family life. We have always understood that the foundations of the family, as an eternal unit, were laid even before this earth was created. Society without basic family life is without foundation and will disintegrate into nothingness. We, of all people, should not be taken in by the specious arguments that the family unit is somehow tied to a particular phase of development a mortal society is going through. We are free to resist those moves which downplay the significance of the family and which play up the significance of selfish individualism. We know the family to be eternal. We know that when other things go wrong in the family, things go wrong in every other institution in society. Our political institutions cannot rescue us if our basic institution, the family, is not intact. Peace treaties cannot save us when there is hostility instead of love in the home. Unemployment programs cannot rescue us when many are no longer taught how to work or do not have the opportunity to work or the inclination, in some cases, to do so. Law enforcement cannot safeguard us if too many people are unwilling to discipline themselves or be disciplined. Page 205. We have no choice but to continue to hold up the ideal of the Latter-day Saint family. The fact that some do not now have the privilege of living in such a family is not reason enough to stop talking about it. We do discuss family life with sensitivity, however, realizing that many do not presently have the privilege of belonging or contributing to such a family. But we cannot set aside this standard because so many other things depend upon it. Parents need to build reservoirs of spiritual strength to sustain their children through life's experiences. There are in our lives reservoirs of many kinds. Some reservoirs are to store water. Some are to store food, as we do in our family welfare program, and as Joseph did in the land of Egypt during the 7 years of plenty. There should also be reservoirs of knowledge to meet the future needs, reservoirs of courage to overcome the floods of fear that put uncertainty in lives, reservoirs of physical strength to help us meet the frequent burdens of work and illness, reservoirs of goodness, reservoirs of stamina, reservoirs of faith, yes, especially reservoirs of faith, so that when the world presses in upon us, we stand firm and strong when the temptations of a decaying world about us draw on our energies, sap our spiritual vitality, and seek to pull us down. We need a storage of faith that can carry youth and later adults over the dull, the difficult, the terrifying moments, disappointments, disillusionments, and years of adversity, want, confusion, and frustration. I am grateful to my parents, for they made reservoirs for my brothers, my sisters, and me. The reservoirs were filled with prayer, habits, study, activities, positive services, and truth and righteousness. Every morning and every night, we knelt at our chairs by the table and prayed, taking turns. When I was married, the habit persisted, and our new family continued the practice. Page 206. On the top of this page, we have a picture of a mother holding her son in her lap, reading to him, with this caption: Home life, proper teaching in the home, parental guidance and leadership, these are the panacea for the ailments of the world and its children. Home life, proper teaching in the home, parental guidance and leadership, these are the panacea for the ailments of the world and its children. They are the cure for spiritual and emotional diseases and the remedy for its problems. Parents should not leave the training of children to others. There seems to be a growing tendency to shift this responsibility from the home to outside influences such as the school and the church, and of greater concern to various child care agencies and institutions. Important as these outward influences may be, they never can adequately take the place of the influence of the mother and the father. Constant training, constant vigilance, companionship, and being watchmen of our own children are necessary in order to keep our homes intact and to bless our children in the Lord's own way. The church auxiliaries are very important, and we should all partake of the blessings they offer. But we should never, never allow them to replace parents, to relieve parents of the responsibility to teach their children the gospel of Jesus Christ. Page 207. Auxiliary leaders and teachers of youth should ask, how can I help these young people to love and obey their parents, honor them, and be supportive of their family responsibilities? How can we schedule meetings, practices, and activities to avoid disrupting home relationships and responsibilities and to allow time for family activities? Our commitment to home-centered gospel living should become the clear message of every priesthood and auxiliary program, reducing, where necessary, some of the optional activities that may detract from proper focus on the family and the home. Only by proper planning and charting our family life can we guide our children and keep them free from the pitfalls that lead to sin and destruction, and put them on the pathway to happiness and exaltation. In this, nothing is more powerful than the example of their own parents and the influence of their home life. Our children's lives will be much the same as they see in their own homes as they are growing to manhood and womanhood. We should, therefore, chart our course along the pathway which we would want our children to follow. The child will carry into his own life much that he sees in his family home life. If he sees his parents going to the temple frequently, he will begin to plan a temple life. If he is taught to pray for the missionaries, he will gradually gravitate toward the missionary program. Now, this is very simple, but it is the way of life. And we promise you that your children will bring you honor and glory as you give them proper example and training. I have sometimes seen children of good families rebel, resist, stray, sin, and even actually fight God. In this, they bring sorrow to their parents, who have done their best to teach and live as examples. But I have repeatedly seen many of these same children, after years of wandering, mellow, realize what they have been missing, repent, and make great contribution to the spiritual life of their community. The reason I believe this can take place is that, despite all the adverse winds to which these people have been subjected, they have been influenced still more, and much more than they realized, by the current of life in the homes in which they were reared. When, in later years, they feel a longing to recreate in their own families the same atmosphere they enjoyed as children, they are likely to turn to the faith that gave meaning to their parents' lives. Page 208. Fathers and mothers, your foremost responsibility is your family. By working together, you can have the kind of home the Lord expects you to have. By showing love and consideration for one another and for your children, you can build a reservoir of spiritual strength that will never run dry. We need to fortify our families against the evils around us. The time will come when only those who believe deeply and actively in the family will be able to preserve their families in the midst of the gathering evil around us. The evil one knows where to attack. He is going to attack the home. He is going to destroy the family. That's what he wants to do. Let us make up our minds he will not do it in our families. We need continually to fortify our homes and families and defend them against the onslaught of evils such as divorce, broken families, brutality, and abuse, especially of wives and children. We need to constantly guard against immorality, pornography, and sexual permissiveness that would destroy the purity of the family members, young and old. We find these evil forces almost everywhere we go. Exposure is almost constant. We track them into the home from the school, from the playground, from the theater, the office, and the marketplace. There are but few places we go in our everyday world where we can escape them. What then must be our service? What must we do? We must be constantly alert to their evil presence in our homes and destroy them as we would the germs and filth of disease. We must hunt them from the closets of our minds, freeing ourselves of such worldliness, quenching the embers of wickedness before they become destructive flames. How do we do this? Page 209. At the top of this page, we see a family kneeling around a coffee table in prayer and this caption: Through regular earnest prayer, the home becomes a place where reliance on the Lord is a matter of common experience. If we would escape those deadly thrusts of the evil one and keep our homes and families free and solidly fortified against all destructive influences so rampant about us, we must have the help of the very founder and organizer of this family plan, the Creator Himself. There is only one sure way, and that is through the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and being obedient to its profound and inspired teachings. Surely, we must be made to realize that the purchase price of a family hearth, free of such evil influences, is the keeping of the commandments of God. As parents read the newspapers and magazines and see what the world is trying to teach their children, they should become all the more determined that their children not be damaged by such sin and error. Parents should then provide the home life, the discipline, and the training that will offset and neutralize the evil that is being done in the world. As children learn of the ugly things in the world, They must also learn of the good things in the world and the proper responses and proper attitudes. Page 210. Some years ago, we visited a country where strange ideologies were taught and pernicious doctrines were promulgated every day in the schools and in the captive press. Every day the children listened to the doctrines, philosophies, and ideals their teachers related. Someone said that constant dripping will wear away the hardest stone. This I knew, so I asked about the children. Do they retain their faith? Are they not overcome by the constant pressure of their teachers? How can you be sure they will not leave the simple faith in God? The answer amounted to saying, we mend the damaged reservoir each night. We teach our children positive righteousness so that the false philosophies do not take hold. Our children are growing up in faith and righteousness in spite of the almost overwhelming pressures from outside. Even cracked dams can be mended and saved, and sandbags can hold back the flood. And reiterated truth, renewed prayer, gospel teachings, expression of love, and parental interest can save the child and keep him on the right path. Home is where spirituality should be taught and nurtured. A true Latter-day Saint home is a haven against the storms and struggles of life. Spirituality is born and nurtured by daily prayer, scripture study, home gospel discussions and related activities, home evenings, family councils, working and playing together, serving each other, and sharing the gospel with those around us. Spirituality is also nurtured in our actions of patience, kindness, and forgiveness toward each other, and in our applying gospel principles in the family circle. Home is where we become experts and scholars in gospel righteousness, learning and living gospel truths together. The home should be a place where reliance on the Lord is a matter of common experience, not reserved for special occasions. One way of establishing that is by regular, earnest prayer. It is not enough just to pray. It is essential that we really speak to the Lord, having faith that He will reveal to us as parents what we need to know and do for the welfare of our families. Page 211. Scripture study, as individuals and as a family, is most fundamental to learning the gospel. Daily reading of the Scriptures and discussing them together has long been suggested as a powerful tool against ignorance and the temptations of Satan. This practice will produce great happiness and will help family members love the Lord and His goodness. Concerning the governing of our families, we have been correctly taught that the family council is the most basic council of the church. Under the direction of the father and mother, who should also counsel together, family councils may discuss family matters, discuss family finances, make plans, and support and strengthen family members. Regarding our home evenings, an evening home with the family or an evening out to some place of interest with your family only partly solves the need of the home evening. Basically important is the teaching of the children the way of life that is vitally important. Merely going to a show or a party together or fishing only half satisfies the real need, but to stay home and teach the children the gospel, the scriptures, and love for each other and love for their parents is most important. By committing ourselves to having the regular and inspirational family home evening, and by carefully planning the content of that evening, we are sending a signal to our children which they will remember forevermore. When thus we give our children of our own time, we are giving of our presence a gift that is always noticed. I like to compare the home evening, family prayer, and other associated activities of the church for the saving of the family, when they are conscientiously carried out with an umbrella. If the umbrella is not opened up, it is little more than a cane and can give little protection from the storms of nature. Likewise, God-given plans are of little value unless they are used. The umbrella spread out makes the silken material taut. When the rain falls, it runs off. When the snow falls, it slides off. When the hail comes, it bounces off. When the wind blows, it is diverted around the umbrella. And in like manner, this spiritual umbrella wards off the foes of ignorance, superstition, skepticism, apostasy, immorality, and other forms of godlessness. Page 212. It is my prayer that we shall all spread our spiritual umbrellas for protection of our families. We should love our children as God loves us. God is our Father. He loves us. He spends much energy trying to train us, and we should follow His example and love intensely our own children and rear them in righteousness. How long has it been since you took your children, whatever their size, in your arms and told them that you love them and are glad that they can be yours forever? Oh, brothers and sisters, families can be forever. Do not let the lures of the moment draw you away from them. Divinity, eternity, and family, they go together, hand in hand, and so must we. Suggestions for study and teaching. Consider these ideas as you study the chapter or as you prepare to teach. For additional help, see pages Roman numeral 5 through 9. Referring to his own family life, President Kimball recalled, "Heaven was in our home," page 203. How can we create a heavenly atmosphere in our homes? In what ways can home life prepare us for eternal life? What are some of the most important things parents can do to provide reservoirs of spiritual strength for their children? For some examples, see pages 205 through 211. What are the risks of parents leaving the training of children to others? What church resources are there to help parents teach children? In what ways can church leaders and teachers support parents? For some examples, see pages 206 and 207. Consider President Kimball's counsel on pages 210 through 212. What evidence have you seen that family prayer, family scripture study, family councils, and family home evening really make a difference? Page 213. Read the last paragraph on page 203, then ponder President Kimball's question on page 212. How long has it been since you took your children, whatever their size, in your arms and told them that you love them and are glad that they can be yours forever? Related scriptures. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 3 through 7. 2 Nephi chapter 25, verse 26. Mosiah chapter 4, verses 14 and 15. Doctrine and Covenants, section 68, verses 25 through 28. End of chapter 19, Strengthening Our Families.
Scriptures relating to Chapter 19 of the Teachings of Presidents of the Church, Spencer W. Kimball, Strengthening Our Families. Deuteronomy, Chapter 6, verses 3 through 7. 3. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee in the land that floweth with milk and honey. 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. 5. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. 6. And these words, which I command thee this day, shall be in thine heart. 7. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. 2 Nephi, chapter 25, verse 26. And we talk of Christ, we rejoice in Christ, we preach of Christ, we prophesy of Christ, and we write according to our prophecies, that our children may know to what source they may look for a remission of their sins. Mosiah, chapter 4, verses 14 and 15. 14, and ye will not suffer your children that they go hungry or naked, neither will ye suffer that they transgress the laws of God, and fight and quarrel one with another, and serve the devil who is the master of sin, or who is the evil spirit which hath been spoken of by our fathers, he being an enemy to all righteousness. 15. But ye will teach them to walk in the ways of truth and soberness. Ye will teach them to love one another and to serve one another. Doctrine and Covenants, section 68, verse 25 through 28. 25. And again, inasmuch as parents have children in Zion, or in any of her stakes which are organized, that teach them not to understand the doctrine of repentance, faith in Christ, the Son of the living God, and of baptism, and the gift of the Holy Ghost by the laying on of the hands when 8 years old, the sin be upon the heads of the parents. 26. For this shall be a law unto the inhabitants of Zion, or in any of her stakes which are organized. 27. And their children shall be baptized for the remission of their sins when 8 years old, and receive the laying on of the hands. 28. And they shall also teach their children to pray, and to walk uprightly before the Lord. End of Scriptures relating to Chapter 19 of the Teachings of Presidents of the Church, Spencer W. Kimball, Strengthening Our Families.